We have been talking about the warfare that Christians are involved in here on the Word of Life. If you'll be turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, we're going to begin with a verse from Revelation in a few moments, and then we're going to step back into some of the description of the battle itself that we fight. Revelation chapter 12. Now, while you're turning there, let me address you again on the subject I did last week. Make sure that you are constant in prayer for the situation that exists in our world, where those who are evil are striking against innocent. I do not hold out that everybody in the world is innocent. In fact, I don't even hold out that the victims of terrorism are always innocent. But in the sense that we speak in our judicial system, for instance, these people that have been attacked by others and killed by others, and all the events that may happen that we're not even aware of yet, there is an innocence in that standard. And the innocence doesn't consist of guiltless, but it consists of what did they do to deserve this. You and I need to understand that what is going on in the world today is a result of greed and political power and all the things involved. The answer to the problem has always been and always will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when the gospel has its effect in life, barriers are broken down. The barrier between God and man is broken down. That is man's sin. The gospel takes into account the need for forgiveness and the ability to forgive, and brings those two together with the person who is seeking God. If you want to solve this problem, pray that the Lord sends forth workers into the harvest. I tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. Revelation chapter 12. The very last verse of Revelation chapter 12 is what we're going to read in just a moment. However you understand the book of Revelation, there is a statement made here that becomes very clear to us in light of current and past events. Revelation 12:17 simply says, "The dragon was enraged with the woman, went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Now, whatever else you might say, you know that the children of the woman are Christians. And the one engaged in a war against us, the dragon, is Satan. The book of Revelation recognizes this ongoing battle. We are blessed to live in a time when Satan is bound. He is not able to do whatever he pleases. Can you imagine what it would be like if this is the time of his being bound? Can you imagine what it would be like if Satan was free to do whatever he wants? You see, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that binds Satan. It is the salvation provided that cannot be taken away by Satan unless we surrender. That is the power of the binding. The warfare that goes on, that's recorded here in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, causes other statements to be made in the New Testament. If you would, from the book of Revelation, go to the left just barely to the book of Jude. If you find Revelation chapter 1, just look to the left and you'll see Jude. In the book of Jude, written by the stepbrother of Jesus, one who did not believe in him during his life, but was convinced after his resurrection of the truth of Jesus' claims. In this book of Jude, one of the things it's dealt with, in fact, about half of this letter, deals with the battle that's going on. And it begins with a statement that you and I will consider for just a few moments. In Jude, verse 3. Look at verse 3 of this letter. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Now, there's much more to be said by Jude, but let's just look at this verse for a few moments. Let's look at some of the parts of this verse and understand the statement that Jude is making. I want you to be clear that Jude is aware of a war. He is aware that we must stand. And you'll see this in the verse. Number one, look in verse 3 at how Jude addresses those he writes to, beloved. That is, to use the same word that God the Father used to speak about Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jude uses that word to describe his relationship to those he is writing to, beloved. While I was making every effort, he says, to write to you about our common salvation. Common in our society means plain, without adornment. I submit to you that that's not exactly what Jude meant. Instead, what Jude meant was something that we have in common. Now, you've used the word like that before. When you say that you have something in common with someone, it means there is a connection there. What Jude is saying to these who are beloved to him is that Jude possesses something that they possess, and both together share in salvation. There are many people that I've never even met that I share in salvation with. There are brothers and sisters in Christ all over this world that I have never known here in this life. But what I share with them is forgiveness in Jesus, redemption by Him, justification before the judgment of God. I share in common what we have in Christ. Jude says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write you. Now, Jude apparently thought that what he was doing was important. He thought that what he needed to say was essential. I doubt that he thought he was just twiddling his thumbs and whiling away time by writing this letter. I felt the need, he says, the necessity to write to you, appealing. Appealing, that's an interesting word. It's a word that means I'm asking you to, I'm begging you to, I implore you to do something. He felt the necessity to write to them, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. Now let's break it up into two parts here. Contend earnestly. Contend earnestly means put your effort into something, doesn't it? If you contend earnestly for the blue ribbon in a race, you exercise, you run, you get stamina, you gain what you need to do so that when you get on the racetrack, you can run the race and you can come out number one. Contend earnestly for the faith. The balance of that particular part of the phrase is very easy to understand in the New Testament context. There are two kinds of faith that exist in the New Testament. Now, you might say, preacher, you're going off the deep end, but hear me out. There is the faith that I hold, the faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's a faith that exists because I am learning what God says, and I am receiving what God says. But there is also a faith to be received. When you see the statement marked here by the words, the faith, then what you understand is that Jude is referring to something that is a body of truth. What Jude is saying is that we must be willing to contend earnestly, to stand up for, to vigorously defend what has been delivered. Now, the interesting thing is that that's not the end of his statement. As you look there, you see, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. Once for all. This phrase is used in the book of Hebrews to describe the sacrifice of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 10. Once for all sacrificed. Faith was delivered once for all. That is, the truth, the revelation of God laid down for us to receive once for all. So what is Jude saying? It's not very complicated, but it is very broad. He's saying that there is a necessity in his heart to encourage these people to stand for the faith delivered to them. That's not hard to understand, is it? And you see, it's a very necessary admonition. That's the big word for it. It's a very necessary encouragement to do what's right in the face of the battle that exists. In a few moments, we'll address some other aspects of this. Right now, let's listen to a song.
I know your life on earth was troubled, and only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. We're no stranger to the rain. So go rest high on that mountain. Son, your work on earth is done. Go to shouting love for the Father and the Son. Oh, how we cry the day you left us. We gathered round your grave to grieve. I wish I
When a soldier returns from warfare in our nation today, they are very well aware of where they have come from. We have cases of what's called post-traumatic stress syndrome that exist because soldiers have been in war. It is hard to explain to a person that hasn't been involved in battle what it's like. Peter, the apostle, was involved in a battle. Do you remember the night that Jesus was betrayed, when Peter was outside in the courtyard and challenged by a servant girl twice and by the crowd of bystanders once and denied Jesus three times? You remember that? You see, Peter was involved in a war with Satan. The war wasn't against the servant girl that spoke up to Peter first and then to those in the crowd. And it wasn't against the crowd that was there. The warfare was against Satan, and the warfare was against the danger of what sin could do to his relationship with his God and with his Savior. As a veteran today has trouble explaining, Peter himself would have had trouble explaining the battle if it had not been for the Holy Spirit of God guiding his words. In your New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, Satan addresses this. And in chapter 5, verse 8, we're going to read this statement that Peter made. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I want you to listen to those words and realize that they're the words of a veteran of the battle, trying to describe to those who are beginning the battle what it's like. It's like a lion walking around looking for somebody to eat. You know, just because the lion roars doesn't mean he's going to get you. But just because you don't think you taste good doesn't mean the lion won't get you. It's a real danger, isn't it? If there was a roaring lion walking about you, wouldn't you be frightened? Wouldn't you be scared? You see, Peter's trying to put this into a statement that people can understand. Jude had said to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to us. Who do we contend against? It's against Satan. It's against this roaring lion that walks about seeking who may be devoured. Do you understand that this is a life and death struggle? Do you understand that your soul is worth more than anything else in this world? It's worth more than your life. And that's the thing we hold precious the most sometimes. But you see, Peter was a veteran of this battle. Peter knew that there were real casualties of it. How's this battle played out? How does Satan go about like a roaring lion? We may not know all the ways, but I want to share with you just a couple of passages of Scripture in the New Testament that talk about this. Let's go to the book of Matthew first. In Matthew, we want to go to chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, there is a story told about a facing down in battle that you are probably already familiar with, but it's a battle that we're going to see together here. Now, as we look, Matthew chapter 4, we look at verse 1 and following. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now, I want you to see something there that's very important to understand. It is the fact that Jesus is involved in this battle. You see, this is how Satan works. Sometimes he does confront you. Sometimes he even confronts you with the use of Scripture to mislead you. That's what he tried to do to Jesus. And we've got to understand that if he tried to do it to Jesus, what would stop him from doing it to us? Do you understand that this is a real battle? That there is no quarter given? That Satan would just as soon as you die in this battle as anything else? There are other ways this battle is fought. Let's go to 2 Timothy. As you turn across your Bible, go past Acts and past Romans, and the Corinthian letters, Colossians, all the way over until you come to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Well, I just told you wrong. 1 Timothy chapter 1. My apology. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at this battle again. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. This command, Paul says, I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. I want you to be, again, very clear on what's going on. When a choice is made that sin will be the rule instead of the exception in our life, then what we put ourselves open to is Satan. Paul literally said here, you heard it, you saw it, that I'll deliver them over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Now, very candidly, Paul could not condemn them for eternity and did not intend to. He allowed them to make their choice and to have that choice. Now, there's a purpose in it, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. But I want you to, again, be very clear that, as Peter said, Satan is a roaring lion. He will confront. He will fight guerrilla warfare. He will do whatever is necessary to stop you from winning this race. In a few moments, we'll wrap up our thoughts, but right now, let's listen to another song. So what we have seen is this is a very real battle. It is a battle in which we have responsibility to contend earnestly for the faith. It's a battle in which Satan is to be taken very seriously, because Satan takes this battle seriously. It's a battle where he's not afraid to confront even our master. unsuccessfully, mind you, but even our master. And he's surely not afraid to confront us. The battle that we have is to be fought with the weapons that God gives us. The battle that we have is not jihad. It is instead the gospel. If we can take the hearts of men captive to God, then we have accomplished what we are here for. I'm always reminded at this point in thought of the statement of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus had been healing many people in the cities of Galilee. He had been ministering to many, teaching them truth. And he said to the apostles, "Look upon the crowds. They are distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. But the field is white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of harvest," Jesus said, "that he will send forth reapers into the harvest." You know, it's not always when we think that the fields are ready for harvesting that they are. We are to sow seed, and we are to watch for what God does and follow his lead. How could we go wrong if we do what is right in his eyes? How could we go wrong if the warfare we are involved in is the warfare that he himself has declared? We must join him. We must stand with him. And we must go on in this battle. Don't let loose. Hold on to Christ. You join us next week on the Word of Life. We'll continue our studies. God bless you through the week.